Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick continues teaching a series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In these lessons, Rick shows you what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. In a moment, we're going to tell you how to get the Daily Hope Advent Calendar. This special resource will help you experience all that Christmas promises. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Prayer of Cleansing.
The fourth thing I do is now I receive God's forgiveness. I receive God's forgiveness. Once I've reviewed every area of my life, I've repented of the sin, I've accepted responsibility, I've resolved to make restitution where I need to, now I receive God's forgiveness. The Bible says this, and by the way, you don't have to be hesitant or shy about coming to God for forgiveness. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. I want you to circle mercy and grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will find, he said, not scolding, not punishment, not rejection. He says, when we come to God with our sin, we receive his mercy and we find his grace. What's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is forgiveness for all the things you've done in the past. Grace is the power to change in the future. And you need both. You need mercy for all the things you've done wrong in the past, forgiveness. And you need grace, the power to change in the future. And God says, you come to me with honestly with all your sin, and you say, God, this sucks, this stinks, this looks bad. I'm embarrassed about it. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. And God says, you will have mercy for your past and grace to change in your future. He said, I will give that to you. And you receive God's forgiveness. Now let me tell you how not to get God's forgiveness. You don't beg God. Oh, please, 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 pretty please, pretty please, with sugar on it. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. He wants to forgive you more than you want to be forgiven. You don't beg, you don't bargain or bribe like I try to do. God, I'll never do it again, or I'll live this kind of life, or I'll tithe 20%. Or you don't bargain, you don't bribe, you don't beg, you just believe. What do you believe? You believe God's promise on the screen. Here's the promise. If we freely admit that we have sinned, that's if we confess our sins, we find God utterly reliable. He forgives our sins. Notice, we find God utterly reliable. God's forgiveness, your forgiveness, is not based on who you are or deserving it. It's based on God's character. He's utterly reliable. Our forgiveness is based on who God is, not who we are. If we freely admit that we've sinned, we find God utterly reliable. He's not going to backtrack on this. He forgives our sin and makes us thoroughly clean. Wouldn't you like to be totally clean on the inside? Have all that shame wiped out from all that is evil. God says, I'm going to clean you out. How do you do it? You just confess. You know what the word confess is in the Bible? It's the word in Greek, homologeo. Homo means the same, like homogenized milk. Homo is just a Greek word for same. And logo, homologeo, comes from the word logos. It means the word to speak. It means to speak the same. Confession is not saying, God, I'll never do it again. That's not confession. Confession is saying, you're right, God, it was wrong. You're right, I was wrong. That's confession, to speak the same with God. The Bible says this up here on the screen. Since we are justified, that means acquitted, declared righteous, through faith, let us grasp the fact that we now have peace and reconciliation with God. Now, before I get to the end, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says, since we are justified. We've talked about this word before. What does it mean to be justified? It means when God makes you just as if I'd never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. God says, I'm going to make you just as if I'd never sinned. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to erase everything you've ever done wrong. I'm going to justify you, make you just as if I'd never sinned. And he says that comes not by you earning it, but just through faith in me, faith in my son, Jesus Christ. You say, Rick, you don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me. Well, you're wrong. I don't know what you've done, but it doesn't matter. Say, well, I've had an affair. Yeah, so what? You don't think God could forgive that? I've had an abortion. Yeah, so what? You don't think God can forgive that? Or a sexual addiction, or pornography, or I've stolen from my company. You don't think God can forgive that? Last night I prayed with a guy out on the patio who said, you know, I could go to jail for what I've done. I said, do you think God can forgive that? Yes, I do. I talked to a woman last night, said, I've had 3 abortions. And I've carried that all my life. I said, don't you think God can forgive that? Yes. Yes, he can. In fact, the Bible says this on the screen. No matter how deep the stain of your sin, I could take it out. And I can make you clean as freshly fallen snow. Wouldn't you like to have a heart like that? That is clean as freshly fallen snow? When you have that, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're forgiven. And when you have that kind of heart, you can handle enormous pressure. You know, as a leader, I take on enormous pressure and an enormous amount of criticism. And the reason I'm able to handle it is not because I'm perfect, because I'm far from perfect, but it's because I keep a clean heart. And my life is open, and nobody can accuse me of any secret sin. I keep my sins before God and cleansed before God. God says, I can wipe it out no matter what you've done. Now you come to step 5, and step 5 is the most difficult one. This is the real test of maturity. I reveal my faults to a friend. I reveal my faults to a friend. You don't have to reveal them to 15 people, not to 5 people, not to 3, not even to 2, but you need one person that you come clean with. You say, whoa, come on, Rick, can't I just be forgiven by confessing to God? Of course you can. Of course you can. But here's the question, and I want you to get it. You need to ask yourself, do I want to be emotionally healed or just forgiven? Do I want to be emotionally healed from all that shame and hurt, or do I just want to be forgiven? If all you want to do is be forgiven, and you want to carry the weight and the pain and the resentment or all of the pressure of it the rest of your life and have it come back and keep messing with your mind, all you need to do is just confess it to God. God will forgive you. You don't have to tell anybody else. Just tell God and he'll forgive. But you'll keep on carrying it. Some of you have asked God to forgive you over and over and over and over for something. And yet you still feel guilty. Why? Because you haven't ever come clean with anybody else. The way God wired us is that we need other people in our lives for healing. God wired it that we only get well in community. You say, well, it's humbling. That's why you need to do it. When you tell one other person, you don't just tell God, but you tell somebody with skin on him what you've done, something happens in your life that sets you free in ways you can't imagine. Notice what the Bible says. Confess your sins to each other. Circle that, each other. And pray for each other. We're to confess and we're to pray for each other so that you may be, circle this, healed. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. So let me ask you again, do you want to be forgiven or do you want to be emotionally healed? If you just want to be forgiven, you just confess it to God. But if you want to get over this and get on with your life, you're going to need to be healed and you need to tell somebody else. Say, Rick, why? Why do we do this? Why does God want me to drag somebody else into this? I'll tell you why. Because God knows that the root of your problem, listen, is relational. You don't even realize that. But the root of all your problems are relational. Your relationship to God and your messed up relationships to other people are the root of all your problems. And when we don't have one person in our lives that we are completely honest with, we wear masks and we pretend and we fake it and we're dishonest with each other and we play games and we're hypocrites and we pretend that we all have it all together when everybody knows we don't, and we act like it's all right when it's not, and we deny our true feelings. What does that do? It isolates you from other people when you're not authentic, when you're faking it, and it prevents intimacy, and it keeps you from the deepest level of love. You cannot love fully with guilt in your heart. You can't. And so what happens is we go around living with shame and living with insecurity and think, if they really knew, they'd reject me. If they really knew, they wouldn't love me. If they really knew me and what I've done, they wouldn't accept me. And it keeps you caught. Would you write this down? I'm only as sick as my secrets. I'm only as sick as my secrets. And the fact is, the more you hide, the sicker you get. The more you hide, the sicker you get. On the other hand, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. And it is amazing that when you find one person that you can trust, and you say, I just need to get this off my chest. I don't need you to do anything. Just listen to me. And you unveil it. You know what happens? You find that they got big problems too. And often they actually have the same problem you do. You say, Rick, you don't know my problem. Look, in this church, we've got over 100,000 names. How many people do you think have the potential to have your same problem? Thousands. Thousands. You're sitting, I hate to tell you this, but you're sitting by sinners. This is a beehive of sin. And I hate to tell you this, but you're no better than anybody else in this room, and nobody else in this room is any better than you. We're all just sinful people. We all blow it. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. So there's something about telling another person that uncorks the pressure valve. When you let the boogeyman out of the closet, all of a sudden, the boogeyman isn't so big anymore. Now you say, do I broadcast this to everybody? Of course not. Of course not. Let me give you some guidelines. Who do you share this with? One person who is a mature believer. Then somebody who's a mature believer that you feel safe with, they're confidential, they can keep a confidence. They are mature enough to respond to you with God's love and forgiveness. They're mature enough to not be shocked by anything. They're not going to judge you. They're going to say to you, you are forgiven in Jesus' name. And there are plenty of people like that. Maybe a trusted friend, maybe a small group member of your small group, maybe a Christian counselor, maybe somebody in Celebrate Recovery. Now, it's absolutely important to be somebody of the same sex. Men should confess to men, and women should confess to women, because if a man confessed to a woman, it'd blow her away. Need I say more? And vice versa. So men confess to men, and women confess to women. You say, well, what do I say? Well, you just say, you know what? I need somebody to come clean with, and I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to give me an advice. I just need you to listen to me while I do a little spring cleaning. I've already confessed this stuff to God, and I just need to confess it to one other person. And what you do is you share, here's what I've done, here's how I feel about it, and here's where I want to change. And that's it. Now, you know, if you actually shared this with a mature Christian, they would be honored to hear your confession. A truly mature believer is not going to be blown away by that. They're going to understand the importance of it. They've done it themselves, likely. And they're not going to be blown away. They're going to be honored by it. And if somebody comes to you this week and says, I just need you to hear my confession, because the Bible says confess to one another, then you just listen to them and you love them and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now, let me tell you something. The secret in your life that you most want to conceal is the secret you most badly need to reveal in order to be healed. If you want healing, there's got to be some revealing, and you got to stop concealing. The very thing that you don't want anybody to know about, that's the very area God wants to give you the most grace and the most mercy and the most healing, and you will receive the most joy when you're forgiven. You say, well, I have this compulsion. So what? So what? Well, I have this addiction. So what? I have this same-sex attraction. So what? We're in a broken world. Nothing works right. You can experience God's grace. When do I do this? As soon as possible. You don't procrastinate. Why? Because I know what's on the other side of it. Look at this verse. What happiness those whose guilt has been forgiven. What happiness. It's like a mountain guilt off your shoulder. The relief. What a relief. To those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. How do you spell relief? C-O-N-F-E-S-S. Confess. That's how you find relief. Now there's one other step. I review every area of my life. I repent of the sins. I own up to them. I resolve to make restitution. I receive God's forgiveness. He's waiting to do it. I reveal my faults to a friend so I can be emotionally healed. And then step six is, oh, by the way, repeat these steps regularly. That's step number six. Repeat the other five regularly. Now, you guys, I'm a grandfather. So let me give you some advice. Never procrastinate changing a diaper. Because it's all going to come out in the end. Okay? The longer you procrastinate, the messier it's going to get. Never put off cleaning up a mess. Let me give you another piece of advice, personal advice. Take a bath every now and then. People will like it. You'll smell better if you clean up. If you spend some time cleaning up periodically, good thing. Let me give you another piece of advice. Take the garbage out of your kitchen every day. What if you only took the garbage out of your kitchen once a year? Your house would stink. Some of you, your life stinks because you haven't taken the garbage out maybe ever. What I just shared with you, I have done it hundreds and hundreds of times. Personal, spiritual, moral inventory. And one of the reasons why God blesses my life is because I try to keep short accounts with God. I'm a very flawed individual. I sin. I make mistakes. I blow it. I'm selfish. But you know what? I try to keep short accounts with God. And I said, God, okay, I don't want to carry in tomorrow the garbage from today. And it's like spiritual breathing. You exhale all the carbon dioxide and you inhale all the oxygen. Friends, God wants to bless your life. I know this from personal experience. God wants to use your life. He wants to bless you and he wants to make you a blessing to other people. And you say, could God use me? Oh, yeah. God uses every kind of vessel. He can use small vessels. He can use plain vessels. He can use ordinary vessels. He can use shy vessels. He even uses broken vessels. But the only thing God will not use is a dirty vessel. And this is a test. Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Are you willing to do it today? Are you willing to be honest to God and honest with yourself? Now, I want you to notice one thing. I want you to circle all the let us, on this. Notice here, first point, let us test. Circle that, the let us. Then look at the next one. Let us turn. Circle the let us. Number point, number two. Okay? Then number four, point four. Let us come boldly to find grace where we will find it. Okay? And then the verse underneath that. Let us grasp the fact that we now have peace and reconciliation. And then in this last verse, under point six, you circle the let us as I read it. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance, having our faith, our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You don't have that one anymore. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together. He's talking about small groups, as some are doing. But let us encourage one another. This is a walk through the lettuce patch. Here's the point. These six steps, we are to take them together. You're not on your own. You're not a lone ranger. You're not out there by yourself. We're all in the same boat. We've all blown it. We all need forgiveness. We all need cleansing. And God wants to bless us all. We are a church family. We are better together. You need a church home. You need to be connected. If you're not in a small group, you need to join a small group. Get connected to a small group. If you are not connected spiritually to God and to other people, you're not going to have the strength to do this. We are to do it together. Let us pray. Say this in your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm tired of carrying this secret guilt and the regrets and the shame around all the time. And I need to unload it. And I need to receive your gift of mercy for my past and grace for my future. So God, right now, I am promising you that I will do a personal moral inventory. I'm going to do what Pastor Rick just taught me to do. And I commit in advance to confessing anything you help me remember. I want to be clean. I want to be pure on the inside. So you can bless me, and so you can use me to bless other people. I want a fresh start, and I want a clear conscience. So Jesus Christ, come in and clean out every room in my life. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. Recently, Pastor Rick had our graphic designers create a beautiful frameable version of the Lord's Prayer that you can download for free right now by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in a moment, but first, fall is here, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we want to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife Kay created an Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, friends, one of the most common questions that you hear this time of the year is, are you ready for Christmas? It's a question that shows how much preparation we think is necessary just to celebrate this holiday and this holy day. We think getting ready for Christmas means putting up decorations and buying and wrapping gifts and sending cards and planning meals and helping with school plays and church musicals and office parties, and the list goes on and on, making sure that we help all the people who are in need. But does doing all that really get us ready for Christmas? Will making it through a checklist prepare me for celebrating the birth of Jesus? We both know the answer is no. And we both know that it's too easy to get so caught up in doing too many things, many of them good things, but so many things that we forget the real reason for the season. So you know what? Here at Daily Hope, we've put together a brand new resource that I want you to have. I hope it will help you really get ready for celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's an Advent calendar. A calendar of preparation. And each day on this calendar, you'll open one Bible verse. And then you just turn to the corresponding page in a companion book that we've put together, and you read through the very short spiritual growth devotional. Now, it only takes a couple minutes to read the Bible verse and the devotional, but it's going to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ at Christmas. My hope is that this resource, this Advent calendar, preparing your heart for Christmas, will help you spend the holiday expressing your gratitude to God, worshiping instead of worrying, and taking things off your schedule so you can appreciate the true meaning of Christmas. I don't want you to miss the miracle of Jesus this Christmas.
You'll want to get the Daily Hope Advent Calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st. This resource is a perfect way to share the gift of Jesus at Christmas with your friends and family. And we'll send it to you to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the good news of Jesus Christ to people everywhere. Quantities are limited, so get yours now. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.